Okay. Good morning, everyone. In the news the last week or so has been a whole big hubbub about people coming into our country and moving around, and some can't, some can, and it's little strange, the dynamic of it all. I hope they get that straightened out. But one thing for sure, it's difficult to get into a country without the right documentation. Sometimes it's difficult to get in this country with it. But anyway, in order to get from one country to another, certainly to come in here, you need a passport. You need a passport no matter who you are, what position in life you are, whether you're a king or a commoner. Rich, poor, it doesn't matter. You don't have a passport. You don't have documentation. You don't have that thing that identifies you as someone who can walk through our gates. You can't get in or leave. Sometimes you want to. Sometimes you want to travel. You want to go in. And in the case of the big mess that's going on is people want to come here because of horrible things elsewhere. We have put ourselves, well, that's a whole different political thing I won't get into. But you can't come in if you don't have that documentation. And if you don't follow the proper procedures, you'll never receive one. My first passport, somehow or another, and I'll blame Karen, they had my birth year as 1953. Well, that's her birth year. No, they had it as 53. I'm 52. So we had to send it back. And that was a two-hour process getting the thing to begin with. Send it back, and they had to send me another one. And that took a little while, but it was fine. We got our passport, and we did what we wanted to do. Well, when we redid our passport, we were supposed to send a new picture in. Well, I had my eyes closed in one of the pictures. So, because they want to see the color of your eye, the whites of your eyes, so to speak, they rejected that, and we had to have it retaken, and we sent it, but anyway, pretty particular. There are things you have to do. There are things that you, procedures you have to follow. There's information you have to have in order to do it properly. In John 3, 1 through 21, we have an account of a man, Nicodemus, who came to Jesus to question him, to find out about who he was. What was his purpose? What was his message? But before Nicodemus could ask the question, Jesus gave him an answer to the question. That he knew that Nicodemus was looking for, but certainly hadn't asked. I don't think he had the knowledge of what was the right question, but Jesus knew what the right answer was. Jesus, knowing the hearts of men, knew who Nicodemus was. He knew the question or the answer to give, and he knew what Nicodemus wanted to know the most. In verses 1 through 21 of chapter 3, it says, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, or the Sanhedrin, I believe. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Certainly the reading I did this morning in Luke spoke to some of that power that people had seen. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. That's kind of not even the question he asked, but Jesus gives him the answer he wants. How can someone be born when they are old, Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify of what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." So Nicodemus was receiving quite a message here. I think he had some somewhat simple questions, but he received so much more. Here we have definite instructions also. He's giving Nicodemus the things he needs to know. We can see that in no matter what position in life a man has, no matter who he is, no matter where he is, he still has to follow the instructions. Nicodemus was considered a great man. He was someone who was seen by the people as important, a leader, showing the people of Israel the way, guiding them. And here he is before Jesus looking for an answer, because we can kind of see who Nicodemus is in this question. He was a leader of the Jews, and certainly putting himself probably in danger by even coming to Jesus, because he was a member of the Sanhedrin, and they were the decision makers. And the second verse acknowledges that Jesus was a special man, a man of God. Again, I wonder how much he had seen of samples like I read this morning, just the great things that Jesus had done. But Jesus isn't impressed with Nicodemus' position or the fact that Nicodemus thought Jesus was a special man. We can see here that no matter who is applying for the passport, the instructions are the same, and they must be followed by all. The things that Jesus said had to seem very strange to Nicodemus when Jesus said, "You must be born again." Nicodemus thought only of the physical part of birth, of physical birth. In the fourth verse, Nicodemus questions Jesus. He said, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Surely he cannot enter again into his mother's womb to be born." He hears Jesus, But he's really not getting the message. He's not really understanding what Jesus is trying to put forth to him. The idea of a parable, so to speak, the idea of being new. Those things he just couldn't get. He's confused. All I can think about, again, is the physical birth. To go through physical birth again, really, you know, it's impossible. The idea of doing that twice, once is hard enough. But Jesus isn't speaking about a physical birth here, as we know. Jesus is speaking of the spiritual birth, a new beginning, allowing God to come into his heart. Nicodemus, twice in verse 4 and 9, asks how. He's questioning. I think he really wants to know. I don't think he's there as a spy. I think there's real seeking going on here, but how can this be? And I think he really wanted to know the answer. He wanted that passport that would allow him to enter the kingdom. He wanted to know, I think he was really wanted to know if Jesus was who he was. And certainly he would have had some idea of being a prophet and all that, or being a Pharisee, being a leader, being a teacher. And Jesus answered his questions after first chiding him and saying, you're a leader, you're a teacher, you're all those things, you should have some idea about that. But he taught Nicodemus in spite of what Nicodemus should have had some inkling into. That he means to begin what he needs to do to experience that new birth, and it is faith. He's telling him through this, he needs to have that faith. In verse 14, Jesus reminds Nicodemus of another show of faith that saved the people. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Nicodemus, I would think, would have known the scriptures pretty well, the Old Testament, the lessons of what that meant, the idea that faith is a pretty important thing. To believe means that he needed to open his heart, and I think that was something positive in Nicodemus' favor, and something we certainly need to do when we first seek and continue to seek the knowledge of God, of what we need to do. We need to open our heart. When you believe in Jesus, you open your life to him, and the new birth can begin, that taking that step. And I think Nicodemus really does need to be applauded for taking that step. Even though he didn't understand all that Jesus was saying here, he did take that step. You need to open your life to him, and new birth can begin. In the 8th verse, Jesus uses an illustration about the wind. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Spirit is like the wind. It can't be seen, but it can be felt. And though it can't be seen, the effects of wind can certainly be seen. Last weekend, you know, I suddenly had lawn chairs in my pool. I decided right away that those lawn chairs didn't walk into my pool. And that wind was pretty hard, so I kind of got the idea. But that wind has an effect, and God's Spirit has an effect. And like the wind, we should be able to feel. And when I originally wrote this, I misspelled. Instead of feel, it was fill. But they both apply. That Spirit should fill us. We should feel its effects. It should lead us. But we should also be filled with it, and that just came to me. But the Spirit should be within us. It should be in us. And the world should be able to see it, its effects. The way we live our lives, the way we deal with one another, the way we hopefully are lights of that Spirit of God within us, that people can see the effects and can feel the love that we should be giving. The world should be able to see the Spirit in the work that we do. Faith is just one of the steps to receiving a passport. I mean, we filled out all the paperwork, and that wasn't enough. Waited in lines for, I think it was an hour and a half we waited for that thing. That wasn't enough. Had to do it, but it wasn't enough. We even had our first photo taken there. Wasn't enough, but we had to do it all. It all had to be done. But faith was the start of our passport to God. Confession, baptism, it's all a part. Accepting God. Stepping up and saying, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All those things are part of the whole. And Jesus really is giving Nicodemus this information. But hearing and believing, the faith that comes from that is the first step. Nicodemus must have done what needed to be done, because in John 7, let me go there. Seven and 50, I think 51, 52 also. So Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." Well, certainly Nicodemus, I think, took his message, a lot of it, to heart. I really think Nicodemus became a disciple. I don't know that we have any evidence beyond a few verses, but hearing is important, accepting is important, and knowing the right things to do are important. And when you do those things, that passport is yours. I know when we went up to go on our first cruise, when we first got that passport, we showed it to them. They said, "Boop, off you go." I mean, there's very little problem. Now, I won't even get into it. Airports and stuff. But without that passport, without that having all those things that we needed to do, we weren't getting anywhere. And without Christ, without his confession, without baptism, we won't be getting into heaven. That is the way. Christ is the passport, and his, and believing in him is what we need to do. If you need to do that, if you need to do that first step, have that faith, come forward, pronounce your belief in him and be baptized, the door is open. If you need to come forward, do so as we have the song of invitation.